What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode. This is Antonio, and I'm here with Anthony and Ben. What's going on, guys?
You know, same old. I'm actually recovering from jet lag. I was in Vegas last week. How about you, Ben? How you doing?
Same old. I'm not recovering from jet lag.
Well, let me tell you about jet lag. It sucks.
It does.
How are you recovering? Because you were with me.
Yeah, I'm all right right now. I'm still a little, like, torn off. I woke up around 8 today, but obviously we're a body still functioning like it's 5 o'clock over there.
Exactly.
So. It'll take a few days to get used to.
You know what was strange, guys? You expect Vegas to be hot and, you know, warm. It's the middle of the desert. It was cold. It was cold.
It was
real
cold.
And I was complaining about 40 degrees.
So, you were complaining about 40 degrees. While we were in Vegas, did you see everybody complaining about what the U.S. men's national team had to play in?
I did.
What's your thoughts on it?
Well, it was negative 12 degrees, correct?
Negative 17.
Okay, negative 17. I've been in that weather before. Actually, colder. Negative.
Where was it? Minneapolis,
right. February. It's not fun. It's not fun when you're talking to somebody and you're all the vapors from your mouth are coming out and are freezing on your beard. Your snot's freezing. It's not fun at all. So I don't know if I'd want to play in that kind of weather.
Here's my question. Ben, you've played at a pretty high level. How would you have felt if you had to play in those temperatures?
You have to play, don't you? It's just one of them things. I played in the hailstones coming down before. They were like rocks. We had to stop for 5 minutes.
Wow.
And then go back out. I mean, that's the worst I probably played in. It was that bad, but we still went back out there.
Right.
It's just one of them things. You put the oils on and everything else,
right?
And you're good to go.
But here's my other thought process, too. If I was getting paid to play in negative 17 degrees...
Well, hold up. This is the national team. Yeah. They don't necessarily get paid.
Okay.
Not every country can afford to pay their national team players.
But you're representing, aren't you?
Yes.
That's the honor on your side.
The flag that's on your chest is more than getting paid. So you go out there and you play.
But what we're talking about now, I mean, everybody is, not everybody, obviously, you know the media. They always take something and they run with it and they blow it way out of proportion. But what they're making it sound like right now is that the USA men's national team is inhumane. They should have never forced Honduras to play in those conditions, and that we didn't care about our opponents. We are a dirty team for using those tactics to our advantage. Here's what I want to say. What about the times where, and I'm going to use USA as an example, this happens all over the world, but we have to travel to South America and play in high temperatures, high climates, okay, high humidity, things that we're not accustomed to. They're having the World Cup in Qatar, for crying out loud, all right? What more do these people want? You have a game. If FIFA allows it and the refs are going to allow it to happen, why are we saying it shouldn't be played?
I don't know. Now, you're talking about high humidity and playing in South America. What year was the World Cup in Brazil?
2014.
Okay, so that's some time ago. These same people that are complaining probably were in middle school when that
World Cup was going on.
The United States men's national team was put as far away as possible from the venues and had to drive long distances to get there. In one particular instance, they went through a rainforest storm or whatever you want to call it, had to get out of their bus and push the bus out of the mud in order to make it to the game. Nobody covered it.
No, because it's only an issue when we do it. But like, are we forgetting, what was it, a few years back, or was it only a year ago in the qualifiers against Mexico? We were playing and fans are throwing bottles of piss, batteries, animal parts, like skinned dead animals that they pulled organs out of and throwing them at American soccer players.
That's crazy.
And we want to be pissed about a little bit of a cold weather. Also, what I don't understand about this country is home to the Ice Bowl. If people forget, in 1967, the Packers played the Cowboys, and the wind chill was negative 47. That's almost three times as cold as what this game was, but that goes down as one of the greatest games of all time. You want to know why? Because it's played by people who wear pads, and it's a sport that's considered America's sport. But when the soccer players want to do it, it's now an issue.
Right.
That's not right. Listen, this is what I'm going to tell you. Most of you that are upset about this game, what you should do is just stop watching soccer, because then you actually don't know much about it anyway.
Ben, do they stop games in the Premier League or Champions League when the temperature drops below a certain degree?
There's been an instance. No,
they play straight through, right?
Yeah, unless you got thick snow on there, it's just coming down. There's nothing you can do.
When it's time for training in February or January and it's snowing out, do they cancel training? No.
They get the plow out, out. But listen, you go. But you got the heated soil as well, haven't you? But underground heating.
See, here's the other thing, though. Even in Europe, you know, you talk about Europe, the Europa League or the Champions League. There's been instances where games have been played in cold weathers, all right? There was a Europa League game in 2016, and it was a Norwegian team versus Bayer Leverkusen, and that game hit around, I believe it was negative 15 degrees. That's not normal temperatures for those teams. They're used to playing in 30-degree weather.
What was the month?
It was in November.
Okay, that's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be 50 degrees in November.
Right.
So they're not trained or ready for it.
Exactly. But just the same way as when the USA scheduled the game to be played in Minnesota, yes, they projected the cold weather. They didn't project that cold of weather.
Right.
You know, and there's another game too. If you look at it, you know, you're like, all right, who's Bayern Leverkusen? Look at Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich had to play a game in cold temperatures as well. Again, not as cold, but they're used to playing in 30-degree weather in the winter months. Okay. Right. They ended up having to go play a game in Russia, and it was 0 degrees.
Right.
That's cold for them. They're not used to it.
Yeah, you get that in the Champions League a lot.
Right. So this stuff happens, and you have to continue forward with it. The USA did all they could. They provided Honduras with gear and equipment to stay warm. They offered any services that they could have to make sure the players were okay. Mm. It happens. But you have to look at it this way. The USA played. Right. I don't see any of them complaining.
No.
And a lot of those guys that played, they're not playing in sub-zero degree weather at all times.
They're not.
No, they're playing in different countries as well, aren't they?
Right.
So they're not used to it either.
Right, they're not.
I mean, for once, Ben, we could say that most of our players are playing over in Europe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And they don't get below 0 degrees over there.
Not at all.
No, so it's the same for both teams.
Right. Listen, that was my rant. I'm just pissed off, man.
I felt bad for Matt Turner. He was saying he was so cold that he was afraid that when if there was a shot, he wouldn't be able to move.
Well, so that happened to Honduras' goalkeeper too, which this stuff you obviously feel bad about. Right. He had to leave the second half and get treated for hypothermia.
Right, right.
You don't want to see that happen. No. But here's my thing. Yes, he left. He's getting treated for hypothermia. Why aren't the other 40 people being like, what was happening there? Was it that he was not prepared? The gear was provided. So what did he do that allowed him to be put in those conditions?
I think it's a mental state, right? So he defeated himself. Yeah, I get it. You're living in that 80-degree weather all year long. You come up here, it's freezing cold, and you defeat yourself.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, we didn't see the guy that was jumping up and down in the stands with no shirt on and a pair of jeans. He made it out.
It was okay,
wasn't it? He was okay.
Here's the problem. They're going to tell you that he's American. He's used to that weather.
I'm not used to that. I'm American. I'm not used to that weather. Don't even get me started about cold weather and being American, yada, 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 because...
Same here. I just feel like we have to clarify one more time. You don't ever want to see anybody suffer from hypothermia. It's not right. You know, I feel bad. I hope the player's doing better. However, the proper gear was provided to keep these guys warm by the U.S. men's national team. That's all I'm saying.
Did they give them the bench with the heated seats and everything, right?
That I'm not sure of. I can't speak on that, but I know they were provided everything possible equipment-wise, from gloves to scarves, hand warmers, foot warmers, all that stuff was provided by the U.S. men's national team to Honduras.
Going from the men's national team, why don't we talk a little bit about the AFCON that just ended?
We can.
Senegal versus Egypt.
All I have to say is my boy's finally a winner.
Koulibaly
finally won a trophy, and it's more than well-deserved. He's played for Napoli for the last 10 years. He's never won. Oh, he's won a few Coppa Italias with them, but he's never won anything significant.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is huge for Senegal to, you know, win a African Cup. Sorry, I wanted to say it in Italian, Coppa d'Africa. But yeah, no, it's huge for them to win the African Cup. And Senegal just proved that, you know, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the World Cup.
They're going
to
be a huge force. You guys know any of the players other than Koulibaly that's on this team?
Unfortunately, I followed only for Koulibaly. But isn't...
just Mane.
Mane, yep. Right? So they have Edouard Mendy, plays for Chelsea.
Yep.
Koulibaly for Napoli. Diallo for PSG. Keyote for Crystal Palace.
He's a good player.
Sar for Watford.
He's a good player.
Sadio Mane for Liverpool. Egypt's team of names that some people have heard of are Mohamed Elane, plays for Arsenal.
Yep.
Mustafa Mohamed, who plays for
Galatasaray.
Yep. And Mo Salah, Mohamed Salah.
Where's he play?
I don't know. Some red team. Liverpool, I think.
Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah,
there we go.
So there you have it. You have three players that are played at a high level versus what Senegal had.
You know what that tells me, though? If you look at that Senegal team on paper, you project them to go far, right? You look at that Egypt team and you see those three players and you're like, okay, they have a few skill players, but are they really there as a team? It just goes to show you what, and I'm going to say purely Salah, can do to a team.
Right.
Completely change them.
They've been good for the last few years.
Right.
Since he's been getting the heights.
So we mentioned Salah plays for Liverpool and Mane plays for Liverpool. In the 12th minute, Senegal gets his PK. So they send Mane up to take it. And Mane's looking over and he sees Salah talking to his goalkeeper. He's whispering, trying to tell him where Mane's going to put it. Mane comes over and he's pointing to the right bottom corner. I'm going to put it right there. I'm going to put it right there. Looked like he was kind of yelling at his teammate from Liverpool and takes a step back and lays one right down the middle. And Gabowski, who's the name of the Egyptian goalkeeper, stops it. Now, my question is, these two are arguing. I'm talking Mane and Salah. Are they going to continue to argue when they go back?
Will do. I mean, they've had the history before when one player hasn't passed the other player.
Right.
Yeah. Just to stop him scoring because he wants more goals than the other one.
Right.
I'm sure that's going to come back up again.
So what do you do as the coach? How do you get these guys to be on the same page?
Hold on. Before we go into that, here's what I say you do as a Liverpool fan. You pray to God that it's true because hopefully it ruins the chemistry between those two and Liverpool starts to fall down the table. Now you can carry on.
I'll go with that. I would say it's more in the locker room, the manager, but all the players as well.
Right, right.
Getting them back on track.
Right. And then, you know, Senegal went on, won it in PKs.
And who got the last penalty?
Mane won it for them. So congratulations to them. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens when the two of them go back.
Listen, even though usually it comes when, like, you're a fan of a team because you have some sentiment towards them or attachment, I've always liked watching certain African teams play. Like, at one point, it was Cameroon. Yeah. Then at another point, it was Ghana. Now it's Senegal.
Yeah. They used to have Nigerians.
Nigeria too. With the Boateng twins, right?
Yeah. When Drogba played, too. He played for Cote d'Ivoire, right?
Ivory Coast,
yeah, sorry. Guys, I always have these names in my head, how we say them in Italy, so. Yes, the Ivory Coast. But anyway, they're exciting to watch sometimes. And they really take people by shock and surprise because you don't expect them to do well. They're really fielding powerhouse teams. Yeah, they have some of the best players out there.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited to see those guys.
So next in line, we'll talk about the FA Cup. If we're talking about
penalty kicks.
Let's talk about the FA Cup.
Rumor has it they're reshooting. It's still going on. It's never actually ended.
That's true.
Possibly the two worst goalkeepers I've ever seen.
And now we're talking about Manchester United versus Middlesbrough. Sorry.
So, where do we even start with that game?
So, the game started out slow, I thought. Sancho scores, I think, in the 25th minute. 64th minute, Crooks scores this beautiful goal. Just joking. He trapped it with his left hand, dropped it down, chipped it over the goalie's head. VAR says
it's not deliberate.
Right.
Accidental handball is now allowed.
So you guys should go back and watch this particular play we're talking about. To us, it looked like a handball.
I think to everybody else,
it looked like a handball.
Yeah. To anybody who's ever played soccer in their life, it was a handball.
His hand literally changed the trajectory of the ball.
Yep, that's correct.
How does it not become a handball?
Because it's not deliberate, and then he passed afterwards, so then you're allowed to score. If he had done that and scored, it would have been disallowed.
Ben, here's my thing. And again, I have to bring up Napoli because we know that's who I'm a fan of. There's been games where in our own box, we go to clear the ball, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Unintentionally, it hits the player's hand. The most evident one that I still remember was Zielinski about a year ago, okay? Goes to clear the ball. It took a bad bounce and it hit up and hit his hand. PK for the other team. So if in that scenario, you give a PK to the other team for that, in this scenario, you should not count the goal. I don't get it.
I agree with you, but they've changed the rules, haven't they? Again. Like last year, it wouldn't have counted.
Right.
This year it does count.
Next year, you're going to be able to grab it out of the air.
You can punch it over like right. Maradona.
If you... That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring that magic back. But no, it's just... I don't know how to describe it. If you look at the replay, okay, the way from one angle you could see it hit his hand and the ball just kind of stop.
Yeah.
But when you look from the back angle, right, the way it looks is that as if he almost passed himself the ball with his hand to put it in his trajectory to shoot. And that's what bothers me. Anything under goal involving a hand should not count.
Right.
Unless it's a goalie making a save.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree with you, too.
At first, I didn't think it was even a handball. And then when they turned the back camera on it, I said, that's a handball all day long.
You're like, that's a handball.
Well, you and I were arguing for minutes on that play until they showed the replay.
And then they showed the replay, and then you see the ball just change trajectory. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, I don't even like any of those two teams, and I was ready to burn the world down for Manchester United. It's incredible that they allowed that.
I'm convinced that the referees that were on the pitch and the VAR were all from Middlesbrough.
No.
Probably you can't even blame VAR this time because they just go by the rules, don't they?
Yeah.
Ben, I blame VAR for existing.
I blame VAR for everything, but that time it's not their fault.
VAR was this great thing when it was first rolled out. We were like, it's going to improve the game. It's been nothing but issues and a nightmare, and if they did away with it, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Just give me the goal line technology. That's all I want.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So they tie the game up.
Didn't someone miss a penalty beforehand?
No, somebody... Oh, yes. Oh, how could we forget?
Bruno Fernandes, right?
No, forget Bruno Fernandes. He missed a wide open net, hit the goalpost and everything.
That's what it was that Bruno did.
The guy that they call the what do they call those things? Goats?
That guy? Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, yeah. He missed a PK. So, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo miss what should have been...
Big chance.
You know, right. There were 30 shots.
I was going to say about 30 shots.
30 shots on net. You know, not 30 shots on goal, on target.
Right. Manchester United had 30 to Middlesbrough, 6 shots.
Right. Incredible. They go into extra time. Nothing. Here comes the penalty shots. How many rounds do you think this thing went?
I mean, we know it went 8.
I think we're still going, to be fair.
These goalkeepers, what did you say they were?
They were terrible. What's that comedy clip that you showed me?
Scott Sterling
would have done better.
Here's the issue. If Scott Sterling was in net, he would have saved all of them at least.
Exactly. On comes Anthony Elanga, 19-year-old for Manchester United in the 8th round. And the poor kid puts one over the top. Game over.
I still feel sorry for him. But not Man United.
Right. I feel sorry for him.
Yes, for him, yes. But not Man
if United. If he made this goal, they'd still be going right now. They'd be on like the 4th or 5th level of the stadium pulling fans down.
You, Man United fan. You, Middlesbrough fan. But actually, Middlesbrough would have run out of fans to take PKs for them at this point.
Yeah, it would have been all over.
Nah, I mean, look, it's unfortunate it happens. But I have to say, and also like Ben, for not caring for Manchester United... This game should not have gone into overtime.
No, it just shouldn't have. No.
So, but listen, this just reinforces the fact, the curse of Cristiano Ronaldo. He's done.
Yeah.
Get him off of your team. He ruined Juve, who now seem to be doing great without him. It took him a while to adjust. And Manchester United had a great thing going before he got there.
Yeah. They were on the right road.
They were. Yeah. They were.
Listen, I was remember getting excited about Bruno Fernandes. Yeah. Pogba was doing just fine. I mean, for hell's sake, even Fred was scoring. Okay.
That is true.
Fred.
Ronaldo
is not the same player now.
No.
Fred scoring is up there.
Never been seen. He's ruined everything.
Right.
He's ruined absolutely everything.
You mentioned Juventus, right?
I did.
Speaking of Juventus, last week we talked about,
Can I just say about...
Yeah, go
the
for
FA
it.
Cup.
Yeah,
because the holders went out, didn't they?
That's right.
We talked. Sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
I know you want to get to Italian football, but come on.
Leicester City versus Nottingham Forest.
Yes. So Nottingham Forest won 4-1.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah. Championship team. Championship team 4-1. It could have been 8 or 9, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's shooting the goals? Robin Hood.
I think he was. think Rodgers is with him now. The manager is under a lot of pressure now.
Listen, Lesser has not been having a good season. I mean, we were actually talking about them, but not having made any reinforcements or anything like that. Something's got to give. Something's got to change.
Yeah.
But this is the same Nottingham Forest that beat Arsenal as well, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't 4-1, was it?
No, it wasn't. But they're putting some good product out there.
No, they're doing well. Unless they had a really good team out, though. It's not like you can say, oh, we rested a lot of players and everything else.
Sure.
Like, Leicester went in with the intentions of trying to win this game.
Right. Yeah, because they're going nowhere in the league.
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean? They don't need to rest players. We need to get through to the next round and try and defend their...
Right. No, but here's my thought process, too, though. Leicester went out there. They put what they could out there to try to win. They put their best players out there. Manchester United literally put their best players out there.
That's true. Oh, can I mention one other game?
Oh, you can mention as,
as many as you like, Ben.
West Ham played Kidderminster. Kidderminster are in the non-league.
Ben, that is all new to me. I love soccer. I love the Premier League Championship, but who?
Yeah, Kidderminster. So,
sounds like a bag of potato chips.
In the FA Cup, you can start like 10 rounds before.
Right, the non-league.
And get all the way through to the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So they got through to the third round, to the fourth round. They got to play West Ham Premier Club at home. They were one goal up until the 91st minute.
Oh, no.
And then Declan Rice equalised. And then they lost 2-1.
In overtime.
In overtime, yeah. But what? Non-league team going all the way? That's
phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
That's what makes the FA Cup really great.
And I was just going to say, that's the one thing I do love about the FA Cup. So like in Italy, if you look at the Coppa Italia, they have it split it up, obviously. It's like the top three or four divisions, I don't remember exactly, they go into one Coppa Italia, and then the rest of them play their own for the lower tiers. In England, you don't get that. What you get is any team has a shot at going up against any of the bigs. And I think that's unbelievable. And that's ultimately what you want as a soccer player.
Right.
Give me a chance. That's all I need.
Yes. Yeah.
So let me ask you, let's say Nottingham Forest wins the FA Cup. What do they get besides a trophy to put in the case?
Europa League.
Wow. Then they don't get a automatic bid to the Premier League next season?
No, nothing like that.
But they get a nice purse too, though, right?
They'll get a couple of million pounds.
Good. It'll help them, you know, bring in players and try to fight to go up.
Get all the advertising that goes with it.
That's fantastic.
I mean, listen, it's a Cinderella story. It's a fairy tale. Yeah. We'd all love to see it happen, but we know usually it doesn't happen that way. It's still always going to be one of the top prem clubs that
When was the last time you had a team that wasn't a
permanent? It's been a few years now. Maybe just with all the money and everything.
Maybe this is the year.
Could well be the year.
Maybe this is the year.
I don't know. I think ever since all the TV rights changed and all the extra money started flowing into the Premier League, it's harder to see. Right. It's harder to see those
stories.
Like, you think the non-league team, how much money they got for having that on TV?
Right.
Right.
It helped them out tremendously.
Yeah. I'd probably save them for like 5 years.
Right.
I mean, here's my another.
Hold up, though. Before you make your point, a team like that, though, now you got to make sure that money that they're getting from being televised doesn't go into their pockets and they try to actually reinvest into the team.
Yes, exactly.
That's where the issues come from.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Here's another thing, too. You know, Salah, Mane, they're coming back. Liverpool's got another game. Who are they playing in that next round? Do we know?
I'm not sure.
What's to say, let's say they're playing Nottingham. What's to say that one of the players from Nottingham goes, we want to win this thing, but we're willing to get a red card to do it. And they go in and they brutalize Salah and take him out for the rest of the game. Why not do that? Can they do that? Should they do that?
That's a good point.
You know?
Do whatever you need to do to win, don't you? You know?
And then
that's happened before.
Yeah, I'm sure. Then what happens? People complain and no longer are these teams allowed to play in the FA Cup.
No, that's never going to happen.
Good.
So, Liverpool's next game in the FA Cup is against Norwich City.
Oh, okay. So,
one other thing, since we're talking about FA Cup, Premier League, I want to touch real fast, because it's going to be fast. Don't blink your eyes. It's going to be over before it starts. The battle for the top spot at the bottom happened on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. It
was the makeup game between Burnley and Watford.
Yes.
Everybody, I think, was sleeping, including the players.
I was going to say, didn't we schedule nap time during that time at work or something like that?
There was a total of 7 shots on goal between both teams.
Were they playing in negative 17 degree weather?
No, I don't know.
It was close, yeah. I think they wish they had cancelled it, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah, but they weren't allowed to.
Postpone it again for another 3 months.
Yeah,
it was a non- exciting game.
It wasn't exciting at all.
I know Newcastle was probably hoping for a tie then, better than one of the other two teams are winning.
It's so crowded down there. I couldn't even guess at the moment who's going to. You're seeing other clubs are getting drawn into it, though. That's the big thing.
Right.
I think actually Brentford might get dragged into it. They're a few points away, but they haven't won in ages.
Brentford, see, I was excited about them at the beginning of the season, and I really thought they had a shot of being in the top.
They're not going anywhere. They just got a boost on the arm. And
we know that.
Bergson.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
He hasn't played for a while, though.
Right. And you got to remember.
Just him being there, not even getting on the field, is a boost in the arm. It's the excitement. It's the mental factor. Get ready for this guy to come on. We're going to do well. I think it's going to be a huge, huge addition.
Listen, if everything worked like that, then you'd have teams like Salernitana, who just bought Nani, you know, save themselves just because Nani joined their team.
Yeah, but how old is Nani?
Nani's what now? He's
38.
37,
38,
yeah.
Oh, I thought he was 70-something.
I can't believe Dani Alves is playing for Barcelona again.
Wow, that was impressive when I saw that. I couldn't believe it. Doing well, too.
He got sent off for the weekend, though.
Yeah, I did not see that. Whoa, okay.
I think he scored, actually.
The guy can play.
He can play, yeah.
There's no denying that.
You know who else came out of retirement?
100 something?
Roberto Carlos. He's playing for some...
Oh, yeah.
You saw that, right? He's playing for some club team, you know.
They kept signing for clubs in the transfer window.
Not necessarily coming out of retirement, but somebody else who just signed on back in Italy was Sebastian Giovinco. He's going to be playing for Sampdoria.
Oh, he's coming back.
Yeah, contract went through. He's got a six-month contract. Manolo Gagliardini got hurt. Sampdoria is in need of a striker. Who, by the way, new coach, new additions. They win their first game 4-0. That's impressive as all hell.
Right.
So maybe Giovinco could add a splash.
What was the game this weekend? So I mentioned in the beginning we were in Vegas. And I was really tempted on, you know, making a couple bets. I was going to do Milan to beat Inter. And what was the other one?
You were going to do Milan to beat Inter and Lazio to beat Fiorentina.
And then at the last minute, I walked away. I just got cold feet and walked away. If I just put $50 down, I would have won $500.
More than that.
No, 100 would have made 1,000, wasn't it?
No.
That was less.
So I forget the way they were giving the odds, but for whatever reason, both Lazio and AC Milan were at plus odds. So when you parlayed both of them together, I think $50.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah.
$50 would have won you close to 1,000.
Cold feet. Well, AC Milan technically away, or just, I know they're
yes, the they, yes, they were away, technically.
So what were they like?
300, was it 300?
It was plus 280.
Oh, plus 280.
Plus 280 on AC Milan.
What was the other team?
It was Lazio, and maybe
300?
Like something like that, yeah, because they didn't think Fiorentina was gonna lose to them.
No, but I told you that. I thought Lazio was going to...
Well, we went over to the same machine right away. I was going Fiorentina and Inter Milan. And he's telling me, no, the opposite, AC Milan and Lazio. So I'm the type of person, when somebody gets in my head, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm not even going to touch it anymore now.
No, I get you.
What I really should have done was I should have just listened to you and did what you said.
And I should have not had cold feet.
And feet were cold.
Yeah.
So what happened in the game then?
Well, since we're talking about Serie A.
Hold up. We were just talking about the relegation battle for the Premier League. I'm kind of falling asleep again, so I think we go to a quick break, have an espresso. And we come talk about this game.
Sounds good.
All right, we're back. I'm energized now. So, what were we talking about?
The derby in Italy.
That's right.
Yep.
AC versus Inter Milan.
Inter were the heavy favorites coming in here.
Were they?
Well, that's what everybody said they were.
Were they, though?
I don't think so. Not in my eyes.
Ben, when's the last time you watched Inter and AC Milan play?
A few years ago.
It's been a few years?
It's been a few years, yeah.
Because I remember,
all I can say is, though, I have heard that AC Milan have been going down.
Up until this year.
Up until this year.
Yeah, they're different this year. I mean, even last year, don't get me wrong, they look good. I feel like they had a point to prove. Making Champions League was definitely huge for them. But AC Milan has this awesome and weird strategy of, let's build a team, and then we'll go sign 40-year-old strikers to finish the job. And that's how listen, it's been working for them.
Yeah.
I can't.
No, I get you.
It's crazy, but, you know, Ibra, Giroud, Messias, he's not 40, but, you know, he's above there in his 30s, unproven player.
Giroud's not 40 years old. What's he?
He's
got to be 33, 34 years old?
No, he's probably 36,
37.
36, yeah. 36, 37, yeah. Giroud is old, man.
He looked good. He did not look like a 36-year-old Saturday.
No, Giroud.
Have Inter Milan lost players? Didn't they win the league last year?
The only players they lost were Hakimi and Lukaku, but they replaced those pretty well, I thought, with Dzeko and Dumfries and
Chilinogu.
They just brought in what's-his-face from Atalanta.
Why can't I think of his name?
The outside back. You know exactly who I'm talking about, but I can't remember right now. We'll come back to that real quick.
Was he there in the 72nd minute of the game when Giroud scored his first goal and then 4 minutes later scored the game-winning goal?
So we were working that day. So I can't remember the exact lineup. I don't remember all the changes that came in and out. But I will say this. I do remember Inter scoring. And we all basically thought that it was over.
Right.
Especially as a Napoli fan. I need AC Milan to win. I hate saying that. But we need Inter to drop points if we want to keep this a close Scudetto race. And then what ends up happening, like you said, Giroud just takes over the game in a matter of 5 minutes.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Literally a matter of 5 minutes.
Unbelievable. I was in the trailer, literally jumping up and down, and the guy that was, you know, a few feet away from me looked at me like I was a crazy maniac. He had no idea what was going on, you know.
Right. And I mean, overall, if you look at the game, stats-wise, both teams were both there. They both played. You had 10 shots from Milan, 11 from Inter, right? 3 on target from Milan, 5 on target from Inter. Possession was there. AC outpossessed Inter a little bit, 54 to 46. Yes, but the teams played, man.
Right.
And the one thing that we have to bring up, because I know a lot of people were mad about it, the Theo Hernandez red card at the end.
Listen, people are mad, but I thought it was just... If he didn't do that tackle...
Dumfries was on a breakaway on that side.
Right.
We don't know if it would have led towards goal. But so, Ben, basically what ended up happening is they got stoppage time into the game. Mm-hmm. AC Milan's up 2-1, right? In the middle of the field, on the far side, an Inter player got by 2 AC Milan players, okay? Theo Hernandez, arguably AC Milan's best defender, comes from behind and tackles him. Didn't hurt him. Rewatching the play, it didn't seem like he intentionally went in to hurt him, but he did intentionally try to stop him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What it does now is it gave Inter Milan a free kick a little bit past the midfield line. It didn't allow Dumfries to drive up the line into the box, put in a cross, take a shot.
It's a tactical foul.
Right. Was it a red card? 100%.
It's an Italian foul as well.
But I agree with it. Yeah. Right. I just caught that. That's a good one. That's a good one. I just caught that. Yeah. But I agree with it. I think that if he had allowed Dumfries to get up there with the way that Inter was pressing, all it takes is one good cross. Anything could have happened. You tie that game 2-2.
One good cross or a quick burst of speed, cut in. You know, you never know what happened. Although,
he took one for the team.
The player of the game. While Giroud scored all those, both goals, Magic Mike was on point.
He was.
Mignon was on point. I mean, he was stopping everything. He was a machine.
You guys, you nailed it with him. I mean, AC Milan nailed it with him. He came over and almost made people forget about Donnarumma.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
He is.
Tonali had a good game too.
Yes, he did.
We've been seeing Tonali rip more shots from the outside now. And I mean, you had arguably Italy's future midfield on the game that day with Barella and Tonali, both looking phenomenal.
And both players I mentioned 2 episodes ago as being influential players for their teams.
Right.
Barella's crosses and passes, Ben, were spot on. I mean, when I'm telling you, like, it looked like, you know, a computer simulation.
It's like FIFA.
Yeah,
like FIFA, essentially.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He looks so good. So good. So,
look. Those teams, they got bright futures ahead of them. Yeah. If they can stay on top of their money situation like they have been, keep bringing in the right young signings, AC Milan and Inter are going to be interesting for years. And I hope it starts to translate over to the Champions League, because it would be fun to have those two teams competing at a high level in the Champions League again.
Right.
Obviously with Napoli in the mix, but speaking of Napoli, Osimhen's back.
Air Osimhen. Mask and all.
Mask and all, man.
You look like Batman out there.
Batman, I got some Zorro vibes. You remember Zorro?
Yeah, Zorro.
So, look, I'm just happy that he's scoring again. It had been a few months since he last scored.
Not only did he score, he scores with a header. You know, you would think a guy that suffers from, you know,
broken face bone,
he's going to be a little hesitant, you know?
Nope, not him.
Beautiful goal.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah.
Well, it was the cross that came in, the way that he was on the far post and just, you know, put it with his head into the other corner. Mm-hmm. That's... As a striker, a pure number nine, that's how you want to attack the ball with your head. You want to put it opposite post of where the goalkeeper is.
Back to where they come from.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, listen, I enjoyed it. Osimhen, it sucks that he's tied into these rumors about him leaving for either Arsenal, Newcastle, or...
I don't want to hear these rumors anymore.
You don't hear them anymore?
I don't want to hear them anymore.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't want to hear rumors anymore. He just wants to see a signature on the dotted line.
I want to see it happen. Now I'm going to be looking up. When's he coming?
Yeah, look, I hope we don't get rid of him. He's a really important piece for Napoli to build their future around. But we paid 80 mil for him. If he can go for 150, the amount of players that we can get and rebuild with.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be too upset about it. So I will be pissed if he goes to Newcastle, though. There's no reason a player of his caliber should be going to Newcastle and wasting three years of his prime.
He should be going to Arsenal. Martinelli and him can have a nice connection.
Yeah. Chemistry.
Yeah.
They got to build it. But hey, again, I still don't know how this happened. Arsenal and Napoli were in contention for Pepe. And you guys ended up getting him, so...
But now you can have him?
We don't want him anymore. But we were also in contention for Osimhen. It's just that a lot of these Premier League clubs didn't feel like that he was ready yet mentally. Which he has proven mentally he is not all there yet. He's still a young kid. Right. He likes to party and have fun.
And things that he probably shouldn't say sometimes.
Right. However, when he's on the pitch, he is the ultimate professional.
But with you saying that, we just got rid of one of them.
Aubameyang.
Yeah. Would he go for the same sort of personality?
Possibly. But here's the difference.
I was going to say that there's an age gap, right? You got one that's just a child. The other one's a man who shouldn't be doing the things that he's doing.
I know, but when they do their research and everything else now, they look at everything like that.
Right.
With Osimhen, I just think is that this was his first big contract. First time he was making a lot of money. First time being in the main light, you know, as a key component of a team. And it's a lot to get used to. However, the one thing that for me is different in Osimhen than it was for Aubameyang, he wants to win at all costs. He's a true competitor. So he never lets that personal stuff affect him when he's on the pitch. And that's what I like to see.
Yeah.
He's going to give you his all at all. Listen, this guy fought with Napoli's medical staff to go play in the African Cup. He goes, my team has a chance at winning it. I need to go play for them. And they're like, yeah, your cheekbone, it's still hanging out of your face. You can't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So they blocked him?
We had to. At the time, his injury was still too fresh to allow him to travel and play for another team. And I don't blame Napoli for that. You made an $80 million investment on a player. You got to protect him.
Exactly.
So.
No, I agree.
Listen, but, you know, Osimhen scored that goal. Napoli beating Venezia 2-0 keeps the Scudetto race very, very tight right now. You have Inter at the top and 1 point behind Napoli and AC Milan.
Right. And then chasing behind is Juventus.
Which, man, they look good right now.
They did. And their two acquisitions of Vlahovic and Zaccaria.
Right.
Score the two goals.
Right.
Vlahovic almost had two other ones. They look good out there. They finally look like... The team that should be out there.
Again, it's the Vlahovic effect. Everybody keeps saying he's too young. Juventus spent too much money on him. I thought this guy was a winner since day one, since last season with Fiorentina. You know, you really saw something changing him and sparking him. He's bringing that over with him to Juventus, which is what they needed from a nice young player. The fact that he's staying in Serie A is only going to help grow our league and hopefully force other young players to come over.
Right.
How do you think they're doing Champions League?
Here's the thing. I don't know how it will translate to Champions League this season, but with these players and a full year together going into next season, I think they got a shot at making it pretty far in the Champions League. I mean, I haven't been too impressed with Champions League lately. Feel like you always have your normal teams that are in there till the end. You have your Real, your Barcelona, your Liverpool, your Chelsea. Man City, yes. So it's what's been expected. And Juventus was in that conversation for a while. But I think now they can actually finish the job. Instead of getting to two finals and losing them, with having these young players.
No,
I think they'll get far this.
I think this year is up for grabs, really.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone says Man City is a machine, but when it comes to the Champions League, they don't deliver.
They don't.
And all the other teams are not playing great.
Right.
I feel like in Champions League, though, Pep gets in his own head.
No, he does, 100%.
Pep changes everything when it comes to Champions League games.
I don't understand.
You can't do that. You have a system that's proven to work. You play in arguably one of the hardest leagues in the entire world in the Premier League, and you win.
Yep, and then he'll change it.
I don't understand it.
You're right. He tries to be too clever.
Essentially, that's what lost them the game last year. The final was against Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's what lost them the game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
How do you think Bayern Munich would do in the Champions League?
Look, Bayern Munich, for me, one of those teams that they're always up there in that conversation, right? Yeah. But in the past few years, I haven't...
They've not been the same.
Right. They're impressive, don't get me wrong. But they also play in one of the weaker leagues, in my opinion.
Right.
When it comes to Champions League, they'll make it as far as the team can make it. I don't see them winning, but again... It's that team that they are good enough to where if they do win, you're also not surprised.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
They'll probably get a semi-final.
Right.
Who's on that Bayern Munich team, by the way?
We all know where you're going with this. On Bayern Munich, you have the FIFA Men's Player of the Year, Robert Lewandowski.
That's right. Did you hear what he said?
I didn't.
So they were interviewing him. And, you know, every time they interview him, they ask him how he felt about not winning the Ballon d'Or. Well, this time around, he said, listen... The Men's Player of the Year award is a little bit more meaningful. You know, you have pro footballers voting, journalists voting, so it means a little bit more. The Ballon d'Or is only voted by the journalists. Is that a dig at Messi? Is that him implying that the Ballon d'Or is fixed?
Hold up. I've done a lot of talking. Ben, I'm going to let you take this one first. Go ahead.
I would probably say that the Ballon d'Or is fixed. Yeah. It was always two players, wasn't it? Ronaldo, Messi.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. They were excellent in certain years. Other years, they've done absolutely nothing.
Correct.
And they still got it. Where other players have done the business in their league, in Champions League, or even for their national team, and didn't get recognized.
In this particular year, I think he should have won both. I thought he would win it, and obviously he didn't win the Ballon d'Or. Messi won
it.
And
he set the record this year.
So, yeah. How many goals did he score? 40 goals, something like that?
Yeah.
But then it also comes down to this. What did Lewandowski win outside of Bayern Munich?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Right.
But nor did Messi other years, did he?
No.
Even when he was going downhill a little bit as well?
But Messi was winning Champions Leagues with Barcelona at the time. He was winning Copa del Rey.
No, but even when they didn't win the Champions League and stuff like that, he was still getting it.
Right.
Listen, off the top of my head, I remember that the years it was battles between... Messi and Ronaldo, one of them was always winning the Champions League with one of their respective teams, at least from what I remember. They never really made a splash in anything internationally. Obviously, as we know, Portugal's never won a World Cup.
Nope.
They've won a Euro. Argentina has won a Copa America. I get it. They won with their international teams now. You want to honor them. It is what it is. But there's so many other players out there that win more with their team and are a huge contribution to their team than what Messi and Ronaldo have done as of recently.
Yeah.
They don't even get it.
Right.
And he can't help it. He plays for Poland, can he? You know?
Right.
Right.
But see, so that's where I'm at. Like, I understand Lewandowski being voted Men's Player of the Year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets it. But if we're looking at what the Ballon d'Or is supposed to be, I agree with him not getting the Ballon d'Or. I'm still huge for Jorginho. Should have been,
exactly.
A candidate for the Ballon d'Or. And I'm pretty sure Lewandowski said it himself. He said Jorginho should have won it.
Right.
Kante. After the season that Kante had last year, he could have been a candidate for the Ballon d'Or.
Absolutely.
It.
Well, these guys were candidates. They just didn't place where the journalists voted them. You know?
Listen, it's a sham. We all know the only reason Messi won it is because he went over to France. He's playing for PSG now. So it's like, how do we not give it to him after he came to PSG? They should just abolish the whole French league. Whatsoever. Have PSG. You know what? I'm starting to agree with the Super League. It should have happened.
That's a conversation for another day.
That's the American in you talking, I feel.
It's not the American in me. I'm just tired of seeing these good teams play in weak leagues and run away with it. I want to see a league where...
You say good teams playing in weak leagues. PSG, on paper, has the best team in the world.
But they're not running away.
What are they winning? They're not winning anything. At all. No Champions League, no Europa League, nothing.
Could it be that maybe it's boring to play in that league and you don't even take it seriously?
You just want to see the Super League, all the same teams playing each other all the time?
Listen, get me 20 teams, 20 of the top teams worldwide playing in one league together. almost kind of like how the MLS is here, right? No promotion, no relegation, but you know that you're going to see 20 of the top battles.
Yeah, but then you can never make that league. So it's just cut off from everyone else.
Yeah, why not?
I don't think so. I think ticket prices would be unattainable for regular fans.
No, you see, that's what you're missing out on. It's not about the fans paying ticket prices. What it is, it's all about TV deals. That's where these teams are making their money nowadays. So that's why I don't blame the Premier Leagues for right away saying, we're not going to join this. We're making enough money as it is off the TV deals. But what about the Spanish teams, the Serie A teams, a few French teams, okay? Some of the German teams. Those guys don't make a lot of money because their leagues just don't sell as well as the Premier League does. And Serie A sometimes.
Yeah, but what's the fun? No relegation.
I was going to say that because how do you bring in that? You should be able to bring in a team or two from other leagues,
FA Cup,
right?
The romance of the FA Cup, yeah.
Yes, I'm with you, but I think for these top clubs, get them in a league of their own, and you know that there's no relegation there because they are at the top of the top. So if one of them tends to have a bad season, you could be like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that Juventus finished last place last year against all these great teams. We never expected it to happen," or whatever it may be.
So you wouldn't want to give a team like, I don't know, so Atalanta.
What are the other teams playing for then?
The other teams continue to play for the same stuff they currently play for.
So like you're telling me like if AC Milan was in the Super League, they're no longer in Serie A.
Right, you can't be.
Yeah, I don't like that idea. No.
We're going to have to disagree on this one.
Listen, originally it was like you said, the Super League was going to be with these teams. It was to replace Champions League, right? It was a competition to compete with Champions League. So they would have been able to play in Serie A in the French league.
If they're going to do it that way, it's a different story.
Originally, that was the plan. FIFA came out and was like, you're taking money out of our pockets. So if you go play in the Super League, you're not playing in Serie A anymore. So at that point, what do you do? You know, it's complicated. It's tricky. But Ben, I just get frustrated sometimes, you know, tuning in and seeing the same teams doing the same things over and over and over. Like, because of money, it's become so hard to see another story like Leicester City, right?
It was only a few years ago, though. Not that long ago.
But listen, but
in the Premier League, any team can beat any team on their day. I don't know if that's the same in Italy. It's not in Spain. Well, not in Germany.
In Italy, this year has proven that anything can happen. Yeah, so
that's what you want to see.
That is what I want to see, but I feel like we have that in Italy. Spain is now, you're seeing that again in Spain as well. Barcelona and Real Madrid are still in a different league, but, you know, it's starting to become a little bit more competitive. And the Premier League, last couple of years at least, I feel like the top teams are the top teams and that's it. You're not really moving anybody out of those positions.
Yeah, but teams are moving up a little bit because the money's spread out from the TV rights.
Right.
So it's not too bad. It's the teams that come up a lot, don't want to put any money into the team.
Right.
They're the ones that are falling back down.
Right.
So why not create a Super League with new teams and you entice the best of the best to come play in that league? And now you're not taking away AC Milan. You're not taking away Chelsea from their respective leagues.
Because FIFA won't allow it.
Right. And essentially, you're doing the same thing. Yeah, you're creating a Super League. Who do you think is going to go start those teams in the Super League? It would be the owners that already have, that own expensive teams. So by taking the good players away, you know, if you take all the players on Juventus right now and put them on a Super League team, right? Juventus goes out and buys other players that they could still field a winning team with in Serie A. What does it change for them? Wouldn't you rather just win in a Super League with Juventus?
I guess. I don't know. I don't agree with the Super League. I like it the way it is right now. Don't change it.
I do agree with you.
I do think something needs to change. I think these, especially after COVID, with the hits that these teams have taken financially, I think something does need to change where the league or FIFA.
How about do what Serie A is doing? They have the right mentality, right? So they all took a hit during the World Cup. They're going to bring 20 teams here for a tournament.
That's right.
That's how you recoup some money.
Yes.
The other leagues aren't doing anything. They should
do the
same thing.
That's what they were doing before that was coming over here.
Right. But COVID kind of put an end to that. Yeah. So this one's a little bit different though, because what they're doing now, I don't know if you've read on it, Ben, but Serie A is planning on bringing all 20 teams over to the United States so that while the World Cup is going on, all the players that were left behind can play and, you know, stay touching a ball. They stay fit.
Right.
I think that's incredible. And
that's a good idea.
A lot of that has to do with that TV deal that they got with Paramount.
Yeah, see,
that's the thing. These TV deals are critical to the advancement of leagues nowadays.
Right.
If you can't land one of them, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, they drive it, don't they?
what is it? The Premier League is partnered with NBC, right?
Yep.
The league has changed tremendously ever since that NBC money started coming in.
Yeah, they sell it to so many different people. Billions of billions come in.
Right.
Well, we'll end the show like this. If Serie A does come here in December, we'll do whatever it takes to get out there and maybe do some Sava FC.
Oh, I thought you were going to come out and say you were going to suit up as a AC Milan player and walk onto the pitch.
I think my days of playing are gone. They're done.
Finally.
They're done.
You're admitting it. Finally.
Yeah.
I still get text messages. Listen, if we're missing a player, I can identify as a 13-year-old boy. Step out onto that field.
Oh, that's funny.
On that note.
Looks like we're done for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See you later.
Thank you.